Greetings, everybody. I just want to say this is my first time sharing, and truthfully, I wasn't really feeling nervous until we got to the Serenity Prayer. So just bear with me, and I'll do the best I can to explain how OA has really helped me. I didn't know how to approach this either, but I thought since maybe many of you don't know me, I'll just kind of go back and share about my life a little bit, sort of a chronological thing. So, I grew up in an Irish Catholic, alcoholic, compulsive eating home. And my parents loved me. I knew that because they told me so. And however, as much as I believe them, and I know that they did because they were doing the best that they could. They were just not able to give me what I needed. I learned very quickly on to not awaken, the lion, who was someone who would get very angry. And so I learned to isolate. I learned to be very quiet. I learned to make everything a secret. Because in doing that, I protected myself. And I would sit at the top of the stairs every night, and I would listen to my parents argue. And I don't know why I did that. My other siblings didn't do that. There were five of us in total. But I did, and I was just particularly sensitive to this, and I was so afraid they were going to get divorced. And so I just hid under the radar, and I was very stealthy too, because my parents had installed an intercom system, so they didn't have to run upstairs every time someone got out of bed at night, and so they could hear us. So I learned to be very, very quiet, and that's what I did. Well, let me tell you, my very first, I think, memory of anything was when I was about 4 or 5 years old, and we lived in a two-family house, and the landlady was a very nice, obese woman. And my mother was having coffee with her one morning, and I walked up to her and I said, "You're fat." And she said to me, "God'll get you for that." And so that was like my first impression of God, that he was like vindictive. And then I started going to Catholic school. And in Catholic school, there I really found some solace. I found some comfort in that. And I didn't have to compete with my siblings. I didn't have to compete for my parents' attention. I learned how to become the teacher's pet. I was a romper room doobie, and anybody of my generation might remember that. I always did what was right, never did anything wrong. I was a romper room doobie. I doobied all day long. So that's how I behaved. And I tried very hard. And then I began to read the lives of saints, and I thought, well, maybe I can be a saint and then I'll be good enough. And so I would sleep on the floor. I would get up in the morning. At one point, we lived across the street from the convent, and I could see when their lights went on in the morning. So I would try to get up before they got up. And I thought that this way I was trying to become holy and become good. And that's where, like, I didn't ask my parents for, I really didn't ask them for anything, because when I asked for something, I didn't get it, or I would make somebody angry. So I learned to ask in prayer, and that's where what became my solace is I turned to prayer to help me. And it did in a lot of ways. There was a safety there, but my prayers never seemed to get answered either. Although, like, I always prayed that my parents wouldn't get divorced, and they never did. And I moved on to high school years, and then I engaged in what a therapist once told me were risky behaviors. And I'll leave that to your imagination. But I grew up in the 50s and 60s, so sex, drugs, and rock and roll were the order of the day. And I wanted to be accepted, and I was so socially awkward. I didn't know how to, I couldn't speak. I couldn't have a conversation with anybody. I didn't know if I opened my mouth, like nothing would come out. And so it was easier for me to just participate in the risky behaviors, and then I didn't have to talk. And I thought that would make me feel accepted. And it never did. It never, nothing ever made me feel accepted. And I realized I need to go back and say that, so when I was, I'm sorry, I'm like all over with this. When I was like about 8 years old, my mother sat me down to tell me about the birds and the bees, and she brought me outside and she gave me this, kind of food, that was relative to the birds and the bees. And so I don't remember anything she said, but what I remember was that was the best tasting thing I ever had, and I was hooked. And really, that was how I began my overeating lifestyle. And between 8 and 9 years old, I gained so much weight that they couldn't find clothes from a uniform for me for the next year in school. And my teeth were rotting. And so my mother knew who was eating these particular foods in the house, when they were missing. And another thing that happened when I was younger too is that I didn't like anything. Most foods I didn't like. And my mother would force feed me, and she would like, I remember the like spoon scraping across my teeth. And then I would just spit it out, and it was like a battle for her. So as I got into high school, I like for lunch, I would only eat junk food. I was like obese, like for 2 years as a kid, but that set up my, I just saw that I was fat even when I wasn't. And so in high school, I was eating just junk food, but I kept my weight in check. I was smoking by the time I was 15. And if I smoked, I didn't have to eat. But when I did eat, it was all wrong. But I used it for everything. Well, I don't want to get into the food types, but I would eat junk for lunch. I would stop someplace on the way home. I would always engage a friend, so I wasn't doing it by myself, and get some junk food. But I didn't have a lot of money either, right? And then, I pledged for a sorority. We had sororities in high school. I don't, not every high school has that, but we did. And I was pledging for a sorority, and that was only because my sister was in it. Otherwise, I never would have been asked. And I wanted to belong so badly, but they decided to call me. They had me prancing around on the beach in a two-piece bathing suit in front of all the cool guys, and they would taunt me with Fat Can Joanne, Beefy Heefy. Heefy was my maiden name. Beefy Heefy, Hefty Heefy. And my father called me Crisco, which I later learned was fat in the can. And the fact of the matter is, when I look back, I wasn't even heavy at that time. But it was, I mean, that's what teenagers do. And they're just cruel. And so this just set me up for just believing that I was just fat and that I was just ugly. So fat, ugly, lazy, and stupid. I always felt, I don't know where it all came from, but it was like a mantra in my head: fat, ugly, lazy, stupid, fat, ugly, lazy, stupid. And so even though it may not have been said to me very often, I heard it a million times. And so then as I went to college, things just got progressively worse and very risky behaviors. And I drank. I drank like a fish. But by the grace of God, I never ended up becoming alcoholic. I met my husband, who was alcoholic, and I was an overeater. And by the time we got married, every little event in our life would escalate our diseases. And I don't know which came first, mine or his, but we would trip all over each other. If his increased, mine would increase in response. Then if mine increased, then his would increase in response. And by the time, I was pregnant with my first son, I had gained like, I don't know, 40 pounds after, since we had gotten married. So it was only like a year and a half. And then I restricted during my pregnancy. because I did not want to, I didn't, it just made my pregnancy riskier, having all that weight on. And by the time I was done, I was 180 pounds, when he was born. And then I quickly dropped weight because I restricted between, breastfeeding and not eating. I got down to like 120 pounds very quickly, very quickly. And, and then it was a battle from there on in. It was just one diet after another, one organization, Weight Watchers, I don't know, whatever. But ultimately, I walked into OA when I was about, I don't know, maybe around 30 years old. And I tried, I really tried. You know, they had the gray sheet around then, but I couldn't really do the gray sheet, but they did offer me options. And I tried very hard to eat three meals a day. But truthfully, I just wasn't willing. I just was not willing to do it. And I would talk the talk, but I couldn't walk the walk. And I went through a couple of different sponsors because I figured it was them, that they didn't really know what they were doing. I always secretly thought I knew better than everybody else. But I didn't. And it wasn't working for me. And after about 5 years, I think, or so, I left. So I also tried going to Al-Anon. I was in and out of Al-Anon many times, and again, I wasn't willing. And I tried. I mean, I tried. I thought I tried, but my trying was all mental. It was like this, like if I could just make it happen through sheer force of mental energy, it would work for me. But I didn't really understand that I had to put feet to the problems. And I was also afraid. I was afraid of doing anything that would, one, cause a divorce, two, I just didn't want to rattle any boat. As long as I could keep my head above water, and that's what I always said, if I can keep my head above water, I can tread water. But that takes a lot of energy to tread water 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. But that's what I was doing. And ultimately, Al-Anon was not successful for me because I wasn't willing to do it. And then in the meantime, I became a born again Christian, and I worked very hard at trying to be a born again Christian. But again, I didn't know how to make anything work for me in my life. I was in therapy for almost 40 years. Again, I wasn't willing. I don't know what it was about me. I was just so stubborn. I couldn't do anything. I was in food therapy groups. I was in everything. Nothing worked. And eventually I got up to 260 pounds. I had a job from hell, that I thought was going to kill me, and it nearly did. And I had a boss who gaslit me. I had a, it, you know, my life was just becoming a nightmare, and everything was spinning out of control, and I was dying on the inside. And I would try, so I would change jobs and thought that would solve the problem. And that didn't solve the problem because I'm still taking me with myself everywhere I go. You know, ultimately, our kids grew. I didn't give them what they needed because I wasn't available. My head was always in the future or in the past, mostly in the future, full of anxiety. And to them, I owe a deep, deep amends. I'm not quite there yet, almost there. I don't know. So that's where that's going. I need to take a sip. Hold on a second.
Gentle
So
fragment of warning.
thanks, Gloria. Fast forward to now, We had the kids were grown. My husband and I had retired. He ended up getting Lewy body dementia. He was sick, and I spent the last 7 years of my life probably just taking care of him. And it's an interesting thing because in taking care of him, I began to see things about him that were amazing that I refused to see, my whole life. And in the last 10 years, I really, really actively pursued my higher power. And that is what ultimately got me into OA, because I was like, I didn't feel so desperate about the food because somewhere along the line, I had lost 40 of those 260 pounds. And so I wasn't really at my bottom, but and I had didn't have the stress of work anymore because I was retired. But I also knew that it got in the way of my connection with my higher power. And this disturbed me. So every time I started to put something in my mouth, I would talk to my higher power about it. And so it made me greatly aware of everything I was putting in my mouth. And then after my husband died, I just became desperate in a different way. And in that I couldn't locate my higher power. And so I begged him. I just begged him to help me. And then serendipitously, I found my sponsor. I wasn't in OA yet, but I found my sponsor. And it took me a few months, but then I decided I would finally come back to OA. And I'm going to tell you that this has opened doors for me that I cannot even begin to explain. My sponsor encouraged me to be open-minded, and I thought I was open-minded, but I began to see that I needed to be open-minded about how I viewed God, right? Because I as much as I knew his mercy, I didn't understand his love for me. I didn't think that I was acceptable, but I began to see that my higher power loved me. And I can tell you that right now, there is nothing greater than sitting quietly and experiencing that love and mercy, just like being infused. It's truly been a miracle for me. The other thing is that I learned how to, OA gives me structure. It gives me a way to approach my problems that I didn't have before. Because before it was just all this mental exercise, and I don't know why I thought that that would work.
Gentle
But
2-minute warning.
okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't leave enough time for this. So, but the tools of the program are now helping me. I would say the greatest thing that's helped me is meetings, number one. And I try to go to many, many meetings. I go to usually at least two a day, sometimes three. And the other thing is service. I have been doing service and I've stepped up, and actually I'm probably doing a little bit more service than I wanted to right now, but it makes me be present. It makes me show up, and it helps me to listen as I hear other people speak, and I pick up so many things. The other thing is the telephone. And truthfully, I'm not great at the telephone, but if people did not call me, I would never pick up the phone at all. But by the grace of God, people have lovingly called me, and it helps me to know that I care, that I'm cared about. And one of the things too, in looking for all of this being liked and acceptance, I often mix being liked and acceptance as the same thing, and they are not, because I know at this point in my life that not everybody likes me, and everybody doesn't have to like me. And I know in the program everybody doesn't like me, but they do accept me, and they do care for me, and they are willing to go out of the way to support me. And this has been like one of the greatest things for me. And the one last thing I will say is that people often say, this is my family. And I will tell you, I have a great family. I love my family. We're there for each other, and it's good. But I have proof that OA is family, because when I look at my contacts in my phone, most of the people in my list of contacts have the last name OA. So that is proof that it is genetic and we are all family. And at that, I will stop sharing. And thank you all, family, for listening to me. Thank you.